On Passover, Jews are commanded to see themselves as if they personally left Egypt. That is not a ritual exercise. It is a demand, because Egypt is not just an ancient kingdom we left. It is something that comes back, not only as a place or a memory, but as a condition, the way power is organized, the way human beings are treated. And in every generation, the question is not whether the metaphorical Egypt exists. It is whether we recognize it, and whether we are willing to leave it again. Sometimes, Egypt is obvious. It looks like physical subjugation, open enemies, regimes that seek to dominate, control, or destroy. That version of Egypt has followed Jewish history in nearly every era, and it has returned in familiar form in our own time. In 2026, it is not abstract. It looks like a regime in Iran that executes protesters, imprisons thousands, and uses repression as a governing strategy in plain view. It looks like a system that treats its own citizens as expendable, and projects that same model outward through proxies that embed military infrastructure among civilians, turning entire populations into human shields. That is Egypt. But the metaphorical Egypt is not only external. It is also internal. It is the quieter condition of dependence, of getting used to living at the mercy of others and calling that normal. It is the erosion of responsibility, the habit of waiting, the belief that survival depends on what others allow. That is why the Exodus story does not begin and end with liberation. Because Egypt was not just where we were enslaved, it was also a society and a set of organizing values that we had to leave behind. Ancient Egypt was built on absolute power, a ruler treated as a god, as a supreme leader. A system in which most people existed as instruments, their value measured by their usefulness to the state. Entire populations organized around serving a central authority. No dignity, no rights, only hierarchy and control. Leaving Egypt wasn't only escape, it was a rejection of that system. What followed was something entirely different. The Hebrew Revolution did not replace one ruler with another. It replaced the premise of rule. Law stands above leaders. Power is limited. Obligations apply to everyone, including those who govern. A society not owned by a ruler but ordered by a far broader covenant. A people responsible for themselves, under God, not subjects of a regime. But that did not happen when we escaped Pharaoh's clutches at the sea. Crossing the sea ended slavery. It did not create a nation. That happens at Mount Sinai. At Sinai, freedom was given structure. Law was accepted. Limits on power were set. Responsibility as a people began. Without Sinai, the Exodus is just an escape from bondage, temporary and reversible. Sinai is what made that freedom durable. That is why the command in the Haggadah telling of the Passover story does not end with memory. We are told to see ourselves as if we are leaving Egypt now. Because Egypt returns through habits, assumptions, and the constant pull toward dependence. Freedom is not a feeling. It is built. It looks like sovereignty. It looks like the ability to defend yourself. It looks like taking responsibility for your own future. And in 2026, the contrast could not be clearer. On one side are regimes and movements that invest in power over people, executing dissent, indoctrinating children, militarizing children, embedding weapons among civilians and leaving their populations exposed. On the other is a society that invests in protecting its people, early warning systems, shelters in and near homes, layered missile defense, and the expectation that the state's first obligation is to safeguard civilian life. One model is subservient to a supreme leader and treats human beings as expendable. The other treats their protection as the point. That is not a slogan. It is a governing philosophy, and it is the modern continuation of the choice first made at Sinai. Because if the Exodus were happening today, it would not end with escape. It would culminate, as it did then, in building the conditions that make sure you do not end up back in Egypt. But the Passover Haggadah gives a second instruction. Do not forget Egypt. Do not forget what it felt like to have no control, no protection, no say over your own future. That memory is not there to weaken you. It is there to discipline you. Because there are two ways to fail. One is to forget Egypt entirely. Power turns into complacency, and then into imitation. Law weakens, limits erode, strength becomes entitlement. At that point, you are no longer leaving Egypt. You are rebuilding it. The other failure is the opposite. It is to stay mentally in Egypt, to internalize dependence, to wait for others to act, to accept vulnerability as permanent. That does not survive. The Jewish story sits between those two dangers: memory without paralysis, power without corruption, and, in every generation, means exactly that. Not every pharaoh calls himself pharaoh. Sometimes the threat is obvious. Sometimes it is quieter, embedded in systems, in expectations, in habits. But our obligation doesn't change. Are we living like people who take responsibility for their future, and who use power within the limits of our laws, or like people who wait for others to decide for them, or alternatively, who wield power the way Egypt did? That is the lesson we must carry forth from the Seder. Not just to tell the story about what happened then, but to look at what we are doing now. Because leaving Egypt was a moment. Staying out of it is a choice. And every generation decides whether it will build something different, or become Egypt again. Micah Danzig served in the Israeli army and is a former police officer with the NYPD. He is currently an attorney and is very active with numerous Jewish and pro-Israel organizations, including Stand With Us and the FIDF, and is a national board member of Harut North America.